This picture here was taken in 1987. I don't remember this news story because I was only about 4 years old at the time, but on the morning of October 14th, 1987, 18-month-old Jessica McClure fell through the 8-inch wide opening of an abandoned well in Midland, Texas. After dropping 22 feet, the little girl became stuck. Over the next 2.5 days, crews of rescue workers, mining experts, and local volunteers labored around the clock to drill a shaft parallel to the one in which baby Jessica was trapped. They then tunneled horizontally through dense rock to connect the two shafts. 58 hours later, the battered and dirt-covered toddler was safely pulled out of the well by paramedics. The rescue was broadcast on live television before a massive audience. Anyone here remember this? Yep. All the old people, as Marilyn would say. Vintage, sorry. After her rescue, McClure was hospitalized for more than a month and lost a toe to gangrene. She and her family were flooded with gifts and cards from well-wishers and received a visit from Vice President George H.W. Bush. Imagine being there, church. Imagine how you would feel when she was rescued from underground. Next one. This one only happened a few years ago. And I'm going to butcher the name here. The Tom Luong Cave Rescue. On June 23rd, 2018, 12 boys and their coach became trapped in a cave in northern Thailand. You guys remember this one? The boys, who were all members of a soccer team, had gone into a long, winding underground cave with their coach to celebrate one of the boys' birthdays. But it was just before the beginning of the four-month monsoon season, and while they were in the cave, it started to downpour outside. Rainwater rushed into the cave, trapping them 2.5 miles inside. They were stuck underground for 18 days as thousands of people joined in the rescue effort. In the evening of July 8th, the first four boys emerged from the cave. The rescue continued over the next 47 hours until the last four boys were pulled out. Again, imagine yourself, church, being there. How would you feel when you watched them be rescued from underground? Last one. Copiapo Mining Rescue. On October 5th, 2010, at approximately 2 p.m., a cave-in occurred at the San Jose mine in Copiapo, I'm not good at Spanish, in Chile. The collapse trapped 33 workers nearly a half mile below ground. During the first 17 days, the men ate one meal every other day and had no contact with the outside world. When contact was finally made, the foreman is quoted saying, "It's been a bit of a long shift." I was reading up on this last week, and that foreman was the one that really kept everyone's spirits up the whole time, but as you can tell by his quote. Multiple drilling teams continually worked at finding a way to rescue the men. On the 13th of October, after 69 days, the men were winched to the surface one at a time in a specially built capsule. As an estimated 5.3 million people watched via video stream worldwide. The president of Chile stated, "When the miners emerge safe and sound, I hope the bells of all the churches of Chile ring out forcefully with joy and hope. Faith has moved mountains." Again, church, imagine yourself being there. How would you feel when you watch these men emerge from underground, watching their rescue? So we're going to talk about another rescue this morning. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to Psalm 113. We're going to read this in its entirety, and then we're going to go back verse by verse and look at it. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. So if you're looking at it in your Bible, do you notice that it starts and ends the same way? When we study the scriptures, this is what we call a literary envelope. So if I showed you an example of this, I have an envelope here, photos from vacation, it says, right? Turn around, what does it say? Photos from vacation. What might we expect to be in the middle of this envelope? Photos from vacation, right? That, I threw you guys a soft one. All right, so it's the same when we're looking at a psalm like this. We see this envelope, praise the Lord at the beginning, praise the Lord at the end. What do you think's packed in the middle of this psalm? It's telling us how to praise the Lord, right? So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. How do we praise the Lord? What is this all about? Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a command here to praise, and it's given to the Lord's servants. If we think of the Lord being above everything else, he's the subject of the psalm, if you haven't picked it up. We kept saying, praise the Lord. It's commanded to us, his servants. We are the ones who serve him and worship him, and we are told to praise his name. Praise the name of the Lord. Naming things gives us understanding. You ever thought of that? So I got a couple examples here. Here's some animals. I know the kids like animals. This first one here, what is this, Rowan?
A deer.
What kind of deer? Do you know? Henry, do you know?
White-tailed deer.
White-tailed deer. Why do you think it's called a white-tailed deer? Simeon. Its tail is white. Well done. All right, what's the next one, Misha?
A black bear.
A black bear. And why do you think it's called a black bear?
It's black.
It's a bear that's black, right? This is pretty easy, isn't it? Oscar, do you know the last one?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Blue-ringed octopus.
Wow. Very, very venomous. It's got blue rings. And if you ever thought about this, octopus, the name itself, from the Greek, octo, meaning eight, pous, meaning feet. So right there, each one of these animals' names describes what it is. So it gives us understanding based on its name. Does that make sense? We could come up with 1,000 more examples of this. But naming things gives us understanding. It's the same thing with God's name. So when we're looking at the Psalms, a lot of times we see this Lord in all caps, and that is significant. That's telling us God's name, Yahweh. So this isn't just the generic God, the Almighty. This is God's personal name. So when you see that all caps like that, Lord, that's Yahweh. And God describes his name to Moses in Exodus 14. And it says, the Lord, Yahweh, passed before Moses and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on their children, and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. All that description is packed into God's name. And he wants us to think about that name when we read it in Scripture. Are we reading this and understanding who he is? Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God's people praise his name because he is worthy, and his name reveals why. merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. But he will also judge sin. How often should the Lord's servants praise his name? Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Yahweh is to be praised, now and forever. I was thinking about this. Imagine adopting a child, and the child wakes up the next morning. It's, you know, the first morning with the family. How long do I get to stay with you? How long do I get to be your child? Now and forever. And that's what God does with us. And that's what we are to do, because if we are in Christ, we have been adopted into his family, and we praise Yahweh's name now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting. Imagine your parents as a child. We're going to have a fun day tomorrow. Well, how long are we going to have fun? From the time you get up until the time you go to bed, it's going to be a good day. But that's what our command is as servants of the Lord. From the time that we wake up in the morning till the time we go to bed, we praise the name of the Lord. Does that mean we don't worship him when we're sleeping? No, it does. But in our waking moment, we are praising his name in everything we do. Our praise is to be continual. Let's look at the next couple of verses. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? This is not just any God. This God sits high above all. I didn't have this written down, but I just thought of this now as I read it. It says, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. Do you guys remember in Genesis 11 when the people get together to build the Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves? And it emphasizes God had to come down to look at it because it was that puny and pathetic. But I think that's the picture we're getting here. He's so high above everything. He looks far down on the heavens and the earth. This is how great this God is. And yet he has revealed himself throughout the scriptures. He revealed himself in his creation in the beginning. He revealed to himself to Moses and the people at Mount Sinai, where he described his name. And ultimately, he revealed himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Isaiah 66 also describes the earth as God's footstool. He is high above everything and everyone. Psalm 113, verses 7 to 9. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Again, we get more picture language here. Imagine yourself, all the choices you've made. It's gotten you to the lowest place you could possibly be. You're living in the dust. You have nothing left in your own strength. You're lowly and humble in the ashes. And the Lord comes, and he pulls you up, and he washes you clean, and he dresses you in holy priestly garments, and he sits you at his table among the princes of his people. This is what our God, Yahweh, does to each one of us. We have been at that spot. Lord, I've tried on my own to save myself, to live a righteous life, and I can't do it. I keep failing. And God picks us up. And through Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, he washes us clean and gives us the garments of his holy people, and he raises us up with Christ and seats us at his table. We get more picture language here. The barren woman, he gives her a home, making her the joyous mother of children. As you read the Old Testament, you realize having kids was a big deal. It was very important for wives to bear their husbands a child, specifically a son. And for God's people, it's especially important because through childbearing, the Messiah would eventually come. So as we're reading, especially in Genesis, we read God making promises to people. It's important that they have children. If his promises are going to be fulfilled through his people, they need to have offspring to bring about the Messiah. And we read about Sarah and Rebecca and Leah and Rachel and Hannah and Elizabeth in the New Testament. All these women were barren, wanting a child, and God blessed them what they could not get in their own strength. What their soul longed for most, God blessed them with it. We're going to start a series in 1 Samuel next month, and we're going to see a story of one of these barren women longing for this child, longing for change, and God does it. So again, this psalm ends, praise the Lord. This is who Yahweh is. This is who our Lord is. He's the one that raises people up and sits them with princes. He gives what your soul is longing for. He fulfills that, what you can't do in your own strength. And this is the picture, like I alluded before, this is the picture we're all in. We're stuck in the chains of sin. We're buried beneath a load of dirt. We are dead in our sin. Like those people stuck in the depths under the ground, we are stuck in the depths of our sin and facing death. We cannot rescue ourselves. And then God sends his own son to come and live a perfect life according to his good law. Jesus lives it out perfectly. Jesus models what it's like to hear his Father's will and obey it perfectly, even when it meant facing arrest, whipping, being nailed to a cross, dying. Jesus gave his own life to rescue us. And because of that, those chains can be broken. All we need to do is recognize him as Lord and say, Jesus, I surrender. I believe who you are and what you've done, and I'm going to follow you. Isn't that amazing, church? All you have to do is surrender to Jesus, and those chains can be broken. That rescue has happened, and Jesus will sit you with his family, with the princes around his table forever, for eternity. Which picture describes where you're at right now? This one or this one? Think hard about that. Jesus has defeated sin and death, and he invites you to believe in him and worship him and follow him. It's a free gift. I just want to close here reading Ephesians chapter 2. I think this kind of sums up what we're reading this morning. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's who we were when we were in our sin. We were following worldly things, following the devil's schemes, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's the picture of the chains. But God, and I love that. But God. Are you feeling this? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you believe and follow Christ, this is you. Because of God. Because of Yahweh. The God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the God that we praise. So let's read this psalm one last time. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, even when we were dead in our sin, you loved us. You humbled yourself. You came to earth. You lived according to your Father's will. You died in our place. And because you were that righteous one, your Father raised you from the dead and seated you as King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's so amazing that you invite us to believe and follow you, and then you seat us in the same place with you. We don't deserve it, Lord. You are so merciful and gracious. You are so good. And we want to praise your name this morning because of who you are and what you've done. Holy Spirit, fill each one of our hearts. Fill this room with your presence. Help us to know this and believe this and feel this and express this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen.